Singing Wolf crouched warily in the gray morning mist, looking over the rim of the rocky terrace at the camp of the others spread across the sandy plain below. A broad river skirted the lodges. He turned slightly, glancing at Raven Hunter. A keen light filled the warrior's eyes. He stabbed his dart at the waking others as if they would magically fall over. Two children, up before the adults, flitted around the lodges, playing. A haunting hollowness throbbed in Singing Wolf's chest.
We're not going to kill children.
Below, a tall man ducked out of the lodge, yawning to the horizon. The east glimmered in waves of red and orange. Raven Hunter braced himself to leap, to charge down the bluff. He grinned at the young men near him.
Ready?
Young men nodded impulsively, wetting dry lips.
Let's go.
Raven Hunter leapt over the bluff, racing down into the others' camp. The people's warriors boiled out behind him. Singing Wolf followed Strikes Lightning, watching in horror as the man raised his dart, using it like a spear to puncture the throats of huddled old people and newborn babies. Unable to move, he allowed himself to be shoved brutally aside as Strikes Lightning ran forward to duck into a lodge. Singing Wolf's stomach rose into his throat as he stared at the carnage. Sightless eyes stared back, the coppery smell of blood bathing him in horror. Strikes Lightning leapt out of the lodge, blood all over his front, a wicked grin on his face.
Come on!
Singing Wolf backed away unsteadily in the cold morning, swallowing convulsively. He caught movement from his right. An other thrust a dart at him from behind a meat rack, slicing his forearm. Instinctively, Singing Wolf jumped away and let his own dart fly. The man fell, Singing Wolf's dart in his neck. His glare of hatred, the last thing he was able to do. Singing Wolf ran wildly through the village, jumping over dead bodies, shoving aside terrified women and children who struggled to flee. He spied Raven Hunter and stumbled in that direction. Their leader had caught a lodge still sleeping, skewering foggy-eyed men as they scrambled for weapons. The tiny boy, barely three, crawled madly from beneath the lodge cover, tears streaking his dirty face. Raven Hunter turned wild eyes on Singing Wolf.
Get him! He'll grow up to kill us!
Singing Wolf balked. With a disgusted look at him, Strikes Lightning raced forward, grabbing the boy by his hind foot and dragging him backward. The little one fought valiantly, slamming his fists into his captor's face and arms. Strikes Lightning grabbed a large rock and raised it high over the boy's tiny head.
No! Yeah!
Strikes Lightning got to his feet, casting a look of utter disdain at Singing Wolf before he trotted away. Survivors fled west, heedlessly abandoning their weapons, dragging the elders, carrying their children, stumbling away.
Follow them!
Several young men of the people lunged in pursuit of those fleeing over the hills. A wounded other lay piteously before Raven Hunter, a dart protruding from his gut. Raven Hunter brutally jerked the dart loose and knelt, smiling in mock sympathy.
I won't kill you.
I'll die anyway.
Yes, but this way will be long and painful.
The other smiled, despite his pain, hatred gleaming in his eyes.
You'd better run, far and fast, enemy man. Icefire will search the mists of time until he finds your hiding place. Then we'll wipe your filth from the face of the world.
Icefire? Who's that? Some false shaman?
The greatest shaman in the world. He's seen your coming.
Then why didn't he warn you so you could escape?
The other kicked out with his legs, slamming them into Raven Hunter and knocking him off his feet. Raven Hunter scrambled up and kicked the man hard in the side. Intestines spilled out the gash in the man's abdomen.
We'll see how brave you are 3 days from now, when the blood runs like a black river through your veins.
Singing Wolf held his breath, respect for the other surfacing. This man knew what a horrible death he faced, yet he fought with his last strength. The wound would fester in a matter of hours, the gut juices boiling up like green slime, attracting the flies and animals. His death would be one of incomprehensible pain. Ravenhunter spat in the man's eyes before turning arrogantly away.
Come! We have to make sure no one in the lodge survives.
Singing Wolf watched them stride from shelter to shelter, hunting. He walked weakly to where the dying other lay. The man curled into a ball, pushing futilely at the ropes of intestine that lay on the ground, trying to tuck them back into his torn stomach.
I'll kill you, if you want me to.
Why? Why would you?
Because of your courage.
The other frowned, then lowered his head, nodding tiredly.
We didn't think you knew of warrior's honor.
How do your people... Is there a special way that sends you to Father Son? To whatever your...
Yes. The great mystery. Take my heart. Give it to the river. She'll carry it to the ocean. This sea spirit will come and take me home.
Singing Wolf knelt and pulled open the man's hides to bare his flesh. The other's breast rose and fell rapidly, his whole body shuddering.
Hurry, before your friends return.
Singing Wolf cast a quick glance over his shoulder. He wondered if his people were even human anymore.
Hurry.
Their eyes held for a desperate moment, and Singing Wolf sensed the man's distrust and fear. He raised his dart, watching the other close his eyes tightly. Then he plunged the dart down, ripping the flesh of the chest and pulling it back to reveal the still beating heart. He slashed the arteries, blood spattering his face and clothing. He carefully cut the heart sac and drew the precious contents out, holding it hot, wet, and quivering in his hands. The other's face slackened peacefully, eyes staring into eternity. Singing Wolf stood on feeble legs and stumbled quickly to the river, wading into the chilling water up to his knees. Waves lapped around him. Laying the heart in the water, he watched it sink.
Take him home, sea spirit. He died bravely.
He watched the heart blood swirl on the surface, mixing with the green of the water, until it disappeared. Then he reached up to clasp the leather over his own heart, holding it tightly as tears welled. They headed north, driving down the big river, pushing the others before them. Ravenhunter swaggered arrogantly now, smiling his pride at those he felt deserved his approval, glowering at the cowards like Singing Wolf, who stumbled relentlessly behind, killing only to save his own life, pleading with the warriors to remember the ways of the people. They camped one night in the bottoms, the ever-lengthening night making such camps necessary. At the same time, they had tired from the long trail. As night lengthened, none could forget the long dark that rested just over the eastern horizon. More and more, Singing Wolf looked back over his shoulder to the south, longing for home. This night they camped in a narrow cove of a valley, the shoulders of the hills rising to either side to provide shelter from the winds. Below them, to the east, the big river rumbled and roared, white water marking its path despite the darkness. Singing Wolf, who no longer shared Ravenhunter's favor, had built a small fire to one side, burning old leaves and dry dung as he dried willow twigs for a hotter fire later. Overhead, the Blessed Star People stared down at his tiny eye of a fire. Soberly, he wondered what they thought, if they closed their eyes at the sight of the people and the trail of blood they left behind. He reflected on that as he looked around at the other small fires, where men huddled laughing, gesturing in the flickering light as they told of their war triumphs. Coming out of the darkness, Ravenhunter squatted before Singing Wolf's fire. His vigorous young face caught the reflection of the flames, glowing eerily red as his black eyes probed Singing Wolf's.
Why do you defy me?
What have we become, Ravenhunter? I've seen you do things that will haunt my sleep forever. bashing babies, lancing old men and women to watch their guts roll out of their bodies. I've seen you reach, grab their intestines, and pull while they shrieked. Why? What purpose does that serve?
I understand your hesitation, and I truly feel disgusted at what I do. But there are so many others. I have seen. In dreams, I have seen. Do you understand? Visions have come to me.
No, I don't understand. What use is torture? Atrocity, no matter how many...
If I make them fear, they'll leave us alone. That's why I leave their bodies looking so grotesque. If we chill their hearts, Singing Wolf, they'll avoid us. Leave our land.
There must be another way.
Raven Hunter settled himself, drawing his knees up to his chest. He looked so charmingly sincere, yet Singing Wolf's stomach turned.
How? We have to kill these people. Make them cry and scream. It makes my very heart crawl and my soul shrieks in my dreams. These others, they're not so different from us. They do many things the same way. But they've pushed us back. Taken the sea, taken the grassy plains to the west, pushed us for generations until we've nothing left. You've heard the stories about how once we had all the land west of the Ice Mountains. There was an abundance of game there. Our ancestors hunted all through that territory. And now? The farther south we go up the big river, the drier the land is, the colder. You've seen that yourself. You've been farther south than any of the rest of us. From your own lips, you say the big ice narrows, blocks the big river. The high mountains rise to the west, endless ice to the east.
Yes.
And what's left for us?
Not to cause anything to suffer is...
necessary. Consider. People make themselves share things. When you kill an animal, lance a mammoth in the gut and follow it for days, you feel its pain, don't you?
Any hunter feels the pain of the animal he kills.
That's our only weapon against the others. Don't you see? Make them imagine themselves as the bloody corpses we leave on the ground. Make them see through our eyes. Make them feel that pain.
Just as we feel it ourselves.
You're beginning to understand. When you look at an infant, its skull crushed, it twists your soul if you think your own child might look like that, doesn't it? Think what it does to theirs.
The black eyes pinned Singing Wolf, the power of Raven Hunter's certainty humming in the air.
Your soul screams in your dreams.
Their screams fill my sleep. It's torture.
Then why? Why do you do it to yourself?
Raven Hunter's eyes seemed to expand, his very soul exposed and twisting in the light of the low fire.
Because I love the people. I bear this burden, not because I want to be a monster, but to save the people. I have nothing more precious to give than myself.
The encompassing eyes seemed to suck Singing Wolf up. Not the eyes of a monster, but of a man in hideous misery. Honest, open, Raven Hunter's soul pulsated. A cold chill shook Singing Wolf. He looked around at the dark camp. Bodies wrapped in hides were only lumps in the crushed tussocks. Before him, the fire lay dead, a few tiny embers gleaming. Raven Hunter put a hand on Singing Wolf's shoulder, patting softly.
War is hideous, but we must fight.
He stood and stepped lightly over sleepers, going to his own robes. Singing Wolf shook his head, staring off into the darkness. Just after nightfall, 3 days later, they peered through a series of jagged boulders at an unsuspecting camp of others. Women roasted fish around a half dozen low fires, patting the children who played a game nearby. Men sat in a distant circle, talking in hushed tones, eyes vigilantly scanning the growing darkness. Rapids on the river glimmered silver in the moonlight. Ravenhunter glanced at his men.
Knock your darts.
Singing Wolf gripped his atlatl fiercely, one finger roaming the grooves along the shaft. He'd cut a line for each man of the people that died, so that now his weapon undulated like the bones of the spine. Strike's Lightning had died first, a dart catching him in the leg, severing the big artery that ran along the thigh bone. Singing Wolf hadn't been able to find it in his heart to weep. A day later, two darts was lanced in the gut. He failed slowly, an oozing pus forming in the wound to fever him. Carried by other young men, he babbled and died horribly amid fearful dreams. Moss Stalker, Loon Voice, Blows with Snow, and many others fell. Some perished in the heat of the fray, others later from infected wounds. Raven Hunter's stature grew, the young men listening carefully, bowing to his expanding power. Singing Wolf felt haunted, a foreboding eating at him. The memory of the pain and horror in Raven Hunter's eyes stayed with him. The logic of the butchery had proved so right. At one camp, they needed only to appear, and the others ran, horrified, into the darkness. It worked. The terror of the people proved as effective as their darts. Singing Wolf found himself repeatedly on the point of turning and going home, but some horrible fascination kept him there, watching as though his very life depended upon the outcome. He peered at the warriors crouching around him. A hardness lay in the eyes of the people that he'd never seen.
Something is happening to us. What? Life is changing. See the set of the young men's mouths. See the way they look over their shoulders, wary, lean, and dangerous. The women they take by force. They've grown brutal. Where is the laughter, the old humor we used to share?
Ready... now!
The men swept around the rocks into the camp, striking down anyone they passed. Singing Wolf ran behind, weaving through the clashing crowd. A woman scuttled from a lodge to his left. With a shock, he recognized his cousin, who'd been abducted so many years ago.
Blueberry? Blueberry!
He lurched to block her flight. Wide-eyed with fear, she huddled down before him.
Don't kill my baby! He'll make you a good soldier!
I'm your cousin, Singing Wolf. Son of Two Stones and Brown Duck, your cousin, remember?
The people have come for me!
Swallowing hard, she threw an arm around his neck. He hugged her and patted her back.
Yes, yes, we've come for you.
As the last of the others ran from their village, he held her close, keeping her from harm as other young women were rounded up by hungry-eyed warriors. They would have many new brides in the camps this year. Around the campfires that night, Ravenhunter cornered Blueberry as she sat with Singing Wolf. He smiled warmly at her.
When were you captured?
Blueberry looked at him askance, fear in her eyes.
It's been 6 long darks since I was taken. A young man, Sheep's Tail, caught me and my sister Onion digging roots. He made us go west. Onion ran once and he killed her with one long dart throw. I was scared. I didn't run.
Then you've been with the others long enough to know them. Tell us about them. How powerful are they?
Powerful. They call themselves the Mammoth People, but they're like a single snowflake compared to the blizzard of the Glacier People.
The Glacier People? Who are they?
The Mammoth People are being pushed up from the south and the west by the Glacier People who follow the game. The animals are moving north because the land many days to the far west is hot, drying out, and they can no longer survive there. Between the White Tusk Clan and the Glacier People are the Round Hoof Clan, the Buffalo Clan, and finally, the Tiger Belly Clan. The Tiger Belly Clan are the most honored. they fight to keep the western enemy from crossing the narrows where the salt waters are less than 5 days' journey apart.
How many mammoth people are there?
Many, Singing Wolf. So many. More than I've ever seen.
Raven Hunter cast a glance over his shoulder to the somber faces of his warriors, who listened intently, fear glistening in their eyes. He grinned.
Well, they'll turn around now. Some escaped us. They'll run to tell the other clans of the bravery and fierceness of the people.
The youngest members of the war party insolently lifted their chins, chests puffed out, as they stood around the fire. Singing Wolf pursed his lips and stared at the ground. The young imbeciles couldn't see what was happening. If Blueberry was right, the others might be under as much pressure as the people.
What are these glacier people like?
They're white-skinned, covered with hair. The mammoth people fought them. The stories are that they came from the western edge of the world. They're fierce, fierce as Grandfather White Bear. Maybe they're his human children, I don't know, but they live by the salt water far to the southwest. Stories are told of how they float on the salt water in man-made hollow logs.
No man floats on water. Trees don't grow big enough to...
Not here, but I've seen trees so tall they touch the sky. Big and dark, like dwarf spruce, but a person can climb 100 feet high in them. I've been west of these mountains and seen the tall mountains that run out into the South Salt Water. The trees there are so tall, they poke the sky.
Fantasy. This woman is spirit-touched. Living too long among the others has done things to her mind.
Blueberry lowered her eyes, mouth hard. One by one, the warriors walked away. Singing Wolf waited, seeing the shame in her face.
I believe you.
But they don't. Maybe I should go back to the mammoth people. I don't know if I belong here.
Forget about them. They're so puffed up from their battle successes they can't see straight.
They'd better learn, because it's far worse than I told them.
What do you mean?
There, to the far west, the ice is melting. The glacier people are pushing the others. But beyond the glacier people, others still are pushing. People who look like us. And chase the glacier people to the east and pin them against the sea. Fierce and desperate men who follow the animals to the north after the ice. So many hunt that mammoth there run at the slightest scent of man.
If all this fighting is going on, why did we beat the others so easily?
They didn't expect it, cousin. Always before, the people ran, left them the hunting grounds without a fight. These camps of others became fat, lazy. All they had to do was kill a couple of the people, and they could take what they wanted.
Will they stay away then, like Raven Hunter says?
No, they'll pass the message that you're no longer afraid and come hunting you.
Can we stop them from passing the word?
No, cousin. Like us, they travel between camps. There are 4 large clans, each so big it has a gathering all its own. They pass a sacred mammoth hide from camp to keep people informed, and the hide is heavily guarded.
Maybe we could intercept the hide, stop the...
Don't even think of doing such a thing! The hide is filled with power. Just touching it would kill you.
But there must be a way to stop them.
Run. It's the only way. Don't you see? You've killed them. The way they believe, their dead will not go to the village of souls beneath the sea until each death has been paid for. It's honor to them, warrior's honor.
You say there are many?
Like the stems of willow along the big river. And they have nowhere to go. Like the people, they are trapped. I've heard them. For the moment, they fear you, but what comes behind is even more terrible. The fear they have of you will melt like fat on hot coals. Those who follow are pushing the glacier people south along the rocky coast of the southern salt water. Runners come to tell us this. The glacier people would cut you to ribbons.
So, the mammoth people have no other way but to take our lands.
Yes. And their warrior's honor requires that they hurt you in even more gruesome ways than you hurt them.
Singing Wolf's thoughts went to Laughing Sunshine and his child-to-be. Deep inside, a tremor shook his soul.
North America's Forgotten Past, People of the Wolf, is a Graphic Audio production. Copyright 1990 by W. Michael Gear and Kathleen O'Neill Gear. All rights reserved. Published by arrangement with W. Michael Gear and Kathleen O'Neill Gear. All rights reserved. Production copyright 2011, The Cutting Corporation. All rights reserved. Performed by Nanette Savard, Joseph Thornhill, Karen Novak, Lily Beacon, Thomas Keegan, Kimberly Gilbert, Michael Glenn, David Coyne, Barbara Pinellini, Christopher Sheeran, Yasmin Toison, Terrence Aselford, Joe Brack, Christopher Graybill, Elizabeth Jernigan, Sherry Simpson, Richard Rowan, Faith Potts, Britton Herring, Ted Stoddard, James Konacek, Colleen Delaney, Ken Jackson, and Drew Kopis. Directed by Nanette Savard. Produced by Rick Rowan and Wayne Beeman. Executive producers James Cutting, Mary Cutting, and Angie Cornett. Dialogue editing and graphic audio sound design by Brian Rogers. Book adapted for graphic audio by Cheryl Phelps. If you enjoyed North America's Forgotten Past, People of the Wolf, be sure to look for Rogue Angel and Vada's War. Available at Road Stops Everywhere at 1-800-670-5220 or at www.graphicaudio.net.
Available now from Graphic Audio.
Graphic Audio presents Vampire Earth.
We're boxed in. We've got three guns with ammunition still between us. And I've not seen a hint of friendly forces.
How many are coming after us?
More than enough. I'm gonna have to ask you to trust me. The Quislings love nothing better than taking prisoners.
You want to surrender?
Worse. I want all of you to surrender. We fight it out here, and we'll just be dead. Giving up, you have a chance.
Every man counts here. Every man is important. The Grogs are another story. They'll run back to their buddies as soon as they see him. Sergeant Rivers, shoot the Grogs.
Sir, no! They're my men! Let me—
Shoot, Sergeant!
Rivers, you shoot again, and I'll kill him. Then you.
Valentine, have you got...
Man! General Martinez is under arrest for ordering the murder of soldiers of Southern Command. Uniform code says no soldier of Southern Command can be executed without trial and unanimous verdict of three officers.
Southern Command is gone. There is no uniform code anymore.
Then it's law of the jungle, Martinez. You're not a general. You're just some bastard who killed two of my friends. Last words? You all know I'm a cat. As of today, you're all cats, too. We're going to pretend we're Quisling recruits. Lieutenant Frum has phoned into headquarters here the happy news that he's finally met, indeed overfilled, his recruitment quota. We've got faked documents requisitioning us food, new clothing, shoes, and weapons. You've all suffered because of shortages of those things. Quislings in the ruins have plenty. We're going to trick them out of them. Get across the river and rejoin Southern Command. Just keep your mouth shut. One loose tongue could do us all in.
The origins of your ghost commission. Our cousins in Louisiana do not care to cooperate with us in tracing you. Certain inconsistencies need to be explained.
Guilty. I'm not a colonel. I was a captain once, but I got busted back to the ranks. Got involved with the wrong man's daughter. I heard you needed men fast. Figured it would be a chance at a new start, fresh ground.
Then you have the spine to do what is necessary in our service.
Try me.
Lysane, a woman in your camp has just given birth. The squalling morsels are most delectable when new and slippery. Go to your camp and retrieve it at once. General, go with him and impress upon him our need.
Vampire Earth, Book 4, Valentine's Rising, Part 1.
Available now in graphic audio.
Tell me, Kip, if you've done bad things your whole life, but you die doing something good, do you think that makes up for all the bad?
No.
Me neither.
But it's better than nothing. Orholam is merciful.
Wonder if you'll say that after they're done with your village.
Gavin Guile is the Prism, the most powerful man in the world. He is High Priest and Emperor, a man whose power, wit, and charm are all that preserves a tenuous peace. A peace that is slowly rotting from the inside out.
This is all that's left of what was once a great civilization. Statues of great men, broken by the pygmies who followed. Let me tell you something you already know. Something that all of you have believed, but no one dared to say. The wrong Guile won the Prism's war. They killed him because they were worried he would change everything. They feared him because Dazen Guile wanted to free us. Dazen knew that light cannot be changed.
As darkness slowly encroaches upon the land, Gavin receives a mysterious letter.
I'm dying, Gavin. It's time you meet your son, Kip. Lena.
As Gavin races to find his son, he learns of a new and dangerous threat to his empire. A man who calls himself King.
Your time is finished. Yours and the Chromarias. You're done! Light cannot be chained. Know this, Prism. We will take back what you've stolen. The horrors of your reign are almost at an end. And when it ends, I will be there. This, I swear!
With the death of his empire looming, Gavin will be forced to wage a war on multiple fronts. But little does he know, his assassin may be looking right before his very eyes.
You're a stupid, stupid boy, Kip. But maybe a dull sword can go where a sharp one wouldn't be allowed. Don't you forget this. Don't listen to him, you hear me? He's a liar. You will not fail me in this, Kip. You learn, and then you kill him.
Yes, Mother?
Kip, if you ever loved me, avenge me. Swear it by your worthless soul, Kip.
I swear to avenge you, Mother, by my very soul.
Don't miss the beginning of the end in Brent Week's critically acclaimed new series, The Lightbringer Trilogy. Book 1, The Black Prism, Parts 1 through 3. Available now in graphic audio.
If you can't find that graphic audio title you're looking for, go to www.graphicaudio.net, where you can order it in CD format or digital download. If you're on the road, call 1-800-670-5220. That's 1-800-670-5220. Or www.graphicaudio.net. And if you're looking for a great way to try out a different graphic audio series, check out our convenient and easy-to-store long-haul box sets, which contain up to 5 books of a series. Available only at www.graphicaudio.net. Be sure to sign up for our monthly newsletter or follow us on Twitter.